Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Basra Kuf Mem Zayin, we're holding 9 lines off the top of the Amud. Yeah. Omar Bzeira, Omar Rav. Here comes an interesting sugya. We all know about the ability of a Shechiv Mara, a person who's Rachmana Litzlan, deathly ill, to give away his assets even without resorting to the conventional, kinyanim method, kinyanim system, which is typically in place and required, in a conventional standard gift giving process. You have to do a kinyan, right? Whether it's actually physically taking possession, etc., or shtar, but a Shechiv Mara, he can do it just by, verbally promising, just by, pledging, instructing that his assets should be, forwarded to this or that individual. It works. Why? Where is the source for this concept? Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav. So we all know that it's really midrabbanan, but here the Gemara will provide some sort of, it's called an asmachta. It's like a source, but it's more like some place to, like a point of reliance, because it's not really a din min ha-Torah. But we find in several places that the pasuk alludes, right? It sort of hints. Asmachta is like a hint. So this concept that a Shechiv Mara was endowed with this special ability to transfer without making a bona fide kinyan. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav, minayin lematna Shechiv Mara shi min ha-Torah? Where do we find in the Torah any hint to the matana of a Shechiv Mara shenamar? We find in the sugya, in the parsha of inheritance, vavartim, es nachlosei lebita. He has no sons, right? A regular person, right? Passes away, no children, no sons, so it goes to his daughters. The pasuk has simply said, ish ki yomus, ubeinein loy, a person passes away without leaving behind a son. What happens to nachlosei lebita? Why vavartim es nach, right? The extra expression is going to provide a hint, a sort of a source, to a maton of a Shechiv Mara, yesh for the chahavora acheres. There's another type of transfer of assets, shikazu, which is just as effective as a standard Yerusha inheritance transfer, but it's on a different track and it still works. Ve'ezai, what's that one? Zumatna Shechiv Mara, that a Shechiv Mara can transfer using his method, i.e., simply pledging. Rav Nachman Omar Rav Bar Avu Mehocha, I have another source, a different source. V'nosatem es nachlosei li achav, a person passes away, he leaves behind no son or daughter, it gets transferred to his brothers. Why does the pasuk need to add the word unosatem? It should just say nachlosei li achav, that's it. The extra unosatem is going to provide a hint to the Shechiv Mara as well. Yesh tocha nesina acheres shikazu, there's another type of gift, another type of grant, which works just as effectively as a standard inheritance. Now, we have two sources. Rav Nachman came from Unasatem. Rav preferred Vavartem. Why did each one prefer his source? For Rav Nachman, my time, why did he not go with the other source, the first source, Le'omar Mivavartem? The answer is, well, that's already used for something else. Hahu, that pasuk mebeila, look at the Rebbe's needed for Rebbe. The Asani Rebbe Omer. We learn from here that a husband is Yerush's wife, a son is Yerush's mother. And that's learned from this pasuk. Rebbe Omer mekulo nemer ben nesina, throughout the entire sequence of inheritance that we find in the pasuk. And we find nesina, give it to this one, give it to that one. Vekan, as opposed to, this is an exception over here by a person's inheritance being transferred to his daughter. Vekan nemer havara, we have a change of expression. Instead of nesatem to his daughter, va'avartem. A shift, a transfer. Instead of just giving it to her. Why? V'ka nemar va'avara. Because it's going to be a real, it may cause a real extreme, significant shift and transfer. Why? Ein lecha shemaver nachlo mishevet l'shevet. You don't find in any other steps of Yerusha that there's going to be a transfer from one sheva to the other, elabas, except by daughter. How? So when father's inheritance gets transferred to daughter, you run the risk of a Sheva to Sheva transfer, because if she marries out, she marries somebody from another Sheva, and the husband will be Yerusher. Ultimately, Reuven's assets, Reuven from Shevet Reuven, his assets, which were then given to his daughter, who now married somebody from Shevet Shimon, so those assets have now effectively been transferred from one Shevet to the other. Or if it goes to her son, who also belongs to Shevet Shimon because he identifies with his father, who's from Shevet Shimon. So from this pasuk we find that a husband is Yerush's wife, a son his mother. Typically, there's no transfer of Shevatim. A man and his sons are the same Shevet. A man and his brothers are the same Shevet. Elobas, except by the daughter. Because she may serve as a conduit, as a transfer point from her father's Shevet to her husband or son's Shevet. Hoylu bno bala, since her son or husband, Yerushanais. Okay, so that explains what Rav Nachman did not use Vavartim for our halacha v'shchimra. It's already been used for something else. It's unavailable. Rabbi Zera, my time l'omer menasatim. Now, why did Rabbi Zera pick Vavartim rather than the pasuk or nasatim? Urcha de kroho. It's not really alluding to anything special. It's just, you know, a regular mode of phraseology. Give it to this one. Give it to that one. It's nothing extra. Rabbi Menashe bar Yirmiya Amar. I have another source for a matanas shchimra. Chizkiyo was very sick, anticipating death. He got a visit, very prominent visitor, the Navi Yishayo ben Amitz, a Navi. And he instructs him, Koyim Hashem, the name of Hashem, Tzavol Veischa, Kime Isata, Ulei Sichi. Instruct a will to your family. So, just a will, just verbal, is enough. So you see that a shchivmara suffices merely with words. Finally, we have another source. Rami bar Yecheskel Amar Yehocha v'achitayfel ro'o kilenasa atzosai v'yach v'shesach amoyer. Achitayfel attempted to rebel against David, and in any case, he saw that he failed. He got on his donkey v'elech al beisai al iro v'yetzav al beisai v'yichonek. So he went home and he instructed, and then he choked v'chatzavo ba'alma. Again, you see that tzava, merely instructions are sufficient for Eish Chivmana. Tana Rabban, on the topic of Achitayfel, Shleisha Dvarim Tziva Achitayfel Esbanav, so we find three orders contained within Achitayfel's will to his kids. Number one, don't get involved in disputes. It didn't work well for me. Altiyu b'machlekes, even if somebody challenging you and you're drawn into some sort of fight, try to get out of it. Val timrudu b'machlis beis David. Secondly, don't follow my failed attempt. Don't rebel against David HaMelech's kingship. Thirdly, this is an agricultural piece of advice. V'yomtiv shel atzeres. On the yomtiv atzeres, on Shavuos, borer, if that day is a clear day, cloudless day, zeruchitim. So that year is going to be a successful wheat crop. Zeruchitim, go ahead and plant wheat. Mazutra ama bolul itmar. He had a different version. So if that day is bolul, a bit of a cloudy day, it's the opposite. Instead of a clear day, it's a cloudy day. Mu'urav means it's mixed. Yama mu'unan, a cloudy day. Bolul itma. Amri na'ardoi mishmeid Rabbi Yaakov. V'lei borer borer mamash. V'lei bolul bolul mamash. They took on a different, a third version of this piece of advice. That the simon isn't necessarily a purely clear sky, v'lei bolul, nor is it a fully cloudy sky. It's somewhere in the middle. V'lei bolul bolul mamish, el afilu bolul. V'ruach tzvenis min hashavtoi, zehu borer. So even if it's a cloudy day, but there is a northerly wind, pleasant wind blowing and blowing away the clouds, so that's as good as clear, and yeah, and you can go ahead and plant your wheat. So again, we have several versions of this. Either it was meant to be a clear sky, fully cloudy sky, or cloudy but with a pleasant wind blowing away those clouds. Amar lei Rabbi Abul Rabbi Ashi. Anan, we have a totally different direction on this simon, agricultural, simon system. We don't rely on this. Rather, it's not Shavuos based. It's Sukkos based, because on Sukkos, we have the din in Shemayim pertaining to water, right? Which supplies all sustenance, all growing things. So that's the day you have to focus on. That's the day you should be taking a look at what's going on and use that as an indicator. Anan ad Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi masninan lo, we go and rely on Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi's set of signs. Damar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi meitzoi yantiv ha'achron shel chag. Okay, so the last day of Sukkos, Chag of Sukkos. So at the end of that yomtiv, mitzvah yomtiv, everybody takes a look. I'll call tzeifin la'ashan hamarocho. All those present in Beis Hamikdash, take a close look at the smoke rising from the wood arrangement, the fire on the mizbeach, to see in which direction he's blowing, which would indicate, right, if it's blowing to the right, so it's based on the wind coming from the left, right? It's blowing to the west. Apparently, there's an eastern wind coming. So take a close look and see where it's going. And that would determine next year's, you know, crop system. That'll be like a harboring of what to expect in the next growing season. Not a kabet tzafon. If the plume of smoke is leaning to tzafon, to the north, anim smeichem, which would indicate that there's a southerly wind blowing it, right? So the anim smeichem balabatim atzevim. Poor people are very happy because, we're going to see in a minute, but the matzevim, the farmers aren't too happy, because that's an indication. It's going to be a lot of rain that year. A lot of rain, a lot of moisture. You can't really store your grain for long term. You have to sell it out for cheap. A Paris Markeven, things are just going to rot. So the aniyim are happy. So the customers are happy and the sellers are not. What if it's leaning the other way? Not the dorem. The smoke is going to the dorem, which would indicate that it's a safine wind, which is a calm, pleasant wind. Anim atzevim, well, by ismechen, it generates the opposite result. Customers are sad, and the owners are happy. Neshegish misham azum mu'atin, because this indicates that it's going to be just a measured amount of rain that year. Peres mishtamer, in which case you can store your wheat dry and keep it stored until the price rises, right? Keep the supply as per demand and raise the prices. Not the klapi mizrach. Let's say it's leaning to the east, which indicates a ruach coming from ma'arav, from west. Hakol smeich, and everybody is joyous because, you know, it's a balanced type of situation. Just enough rain, not too much, not too little, and not dry enough to store everything, you know, to hoard everything, but not too wet, which doesn't allow any storing. So it's just perfect, a balanced, market environment. What about Klapi Marav? If the smoke is facing the west, which indicates a easterly wind, so that year is going to be bad. Now, Kol HaTzeiv, everybody is sad because the Ruach Mizrachis, says Rashbam, is Meina'as Motar. It really reduces the rain supply and brings about shortage and famine and price hikes. So in this price, we learned that the Ruach from Mizrach is detrimental, harmful. The ruach from Marav is beneficial. Vramini. Now comes a brisa which totally switches it around. Mizrach is, instead of being bad, is great. Loyal miyafet. Marav is, instead of being great, loyal kosher is bad. Ruach is a finest, which minimizes the rain, as we learned before. Yafet l'chitim mishav yishav yishlish is beneficial for the wheat once it's achieved a third of its growth and no longer needs the added moisture. Mekoshel is zesim mishav yishayinitzer, but it's difficult for the zesim, for the olives, when they start budding because they need the moisture. Ruach Duraimis, which brings an abundance of moisture, Kosh L'chidim Shashav Yishlish, is difficult for the, it's harmful for the wheat, Yafalizayisim Shashay Nitzu, but good for the olives. In any case, we seem to have a contradiction regarding the Ruach coming from Mizrach and Marav. Is it good or is it bad? Okay, but first let's just finish. Vom Rav Yosef, Vitem Marzutra, Vitem Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Okay, so they explain that either Rav Yosef or Marzutra, right, regarding Tzafan and Dorim, affecting the wheat or the olives. Simonach, if you want to remember exactly what's what, take a look at the Beis HaMikdash. Shulchan Batzafon, so the shulchan which contained the lechem upon the bread was on the tzafon of the heichal. And likewise, the ruach coming from tzafon is beneficial, helps the chitim. Right? U'menorah b'darim, whereas the menorah, where they lit the Kohen lit the flames of drawing from the olive oil was on the darim of the Eichel, which corresponds to the darim of the world. Hai marbi didei, v'hai marbi didei. So explains very well that the shulchan, which is in Tzafin, right, is similar to the ruach coming from Tzafin, which benefits the material, the bread material, the grain, which was situated on the shulchan, whereas the ruach coming from darim aids and abets the olives, which were used for the menorah, which was in darim as well. Okay, so that's a good way to remember. In any case, what about the ruach mizrach and marav? Which one is good? Which one is bad? We have a machlekes. Earlier, Brisa says mizrach is dangerous and the is detrimental, is harmful, and the marav is great. And here we say the other way around. Answers the Gemara, you know what? It all depends where you're living, like Kashya. Ha'lan v'alehu. Explain the Rashbam. Lan means by us, in Bavel. Bavel was, low flatlands, very moist and humid. They didn't need much rain, lots of water sources all over. So then we say, look, we want less, we want more dry, so we want less moisture. So the Marav, which brings about more moisture, is not great for us. Whereas the Mizrach, which is a more drying wind, is great. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, which is the topic of the context of the first brisa, there's the other way around. The more moisture they can get, the better. It's highlands and mountainous, and right. So it's typically less humid, more dry. So they're seeking more moisture. In which case, they want the ruach ma'aravis. They prefer that for its moisture content. Okay, furthermore, on the indicators, the beginning of the year, as a forerunner for what's going to happen. Tanya Abashol Eimer Yom Tov Shalat Tzeres. So if on Shavuos, you notice, butter, clear sky, Simen Yefel Chal Shanakul, that's a great sign for the year. Omer Av Zvid Ayyem El Kamad Reish Shata, likewise, first day of Reish HaShanah, Ichamim, if it's a hot day, Kula Shata Chamima, that means it's going to be hotter than usual year. Ikar, if it's a cool day, Kula Shata Krira, it's going to be a cool year. Man of Kamin, what's the point of mentioning this? It is what it is. The answer is, Lit tefillah seshul kohen gadol. We all know that the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur made a special tefillah. That if it's going to be a dry year, Hashem, please add rain. If it's going to be a wet year, Hashem, dry it up. Right? Hashem, please provide a balanced year for everybody. So, now he knows. Right? Takes a look at the weather on Rosh Hashanah. If it's indicating a hot year, so he knows that on Yom Kippur, Shadavim, Hashem, please balance it with some coolness and moisture. It's meant to be a cool year, so he davens it shouldn't be too cool. That's what's important to know. Okay, so we have several indicators, whether it's Rosh Hashanah, whether it's Shavuos, whether it's the wind direction, and very important for our preparation for our tefillahs. V'rava Amar Rav Nachman. Okay, back to the topic of a Shechimra. We found several asmachtes, several sources in the Pesukim. Rava brings from Rav Nachman. No, matna shechimra, it's midrabanan ba'almihi. It was merely a din midrabanan. It was invented, it was introduced by the Rabbanan, and there's a special reason for it. Shema titurev da'ata olav. We don't want him to be anxious and all nervous that his will not be fulfilled and carried out. So instead of requiring him to bring Adib and the Sefer and getting the documents ready, we simply rely on his word of mouth, just his, his verbal instructions. Okay, his word is gold. Says the Gemara, really, it's only with the Rabbanon without any source in the Torah. Mi amar Nachman hachi, v'amar Rav Nachman. Oh, we have a loch, interesting loch. Rav Nachman says like this: Av agav damar Shmuel amicher shtarchev lechaveri. So, let's say not a shchivmar, a regular case. Person sells a loan document. Person owes me $100. I take that document, and I sell it to you, which basically means I'm giving you the ability to collect on that debt. Like today, banks do that all the time. They sell mortgages, they sell debts. But then I turn around, I do something very not nice. So the seller went and he forgave the loan. He sold it, and then he forgave the loan to the loiver. Question, does it work or not? On the one hand, you can say, no, he already sold it, it's out of his hands. On the other hand, it's forgiven and forgotten. Even the seller passed away and his son is a Yerush, of that, you know, theoretical debt, he can be moichel. So even though it's been sold, because ultimately the debt is owed to the lender. He's just empowering. He's allowing the buyer to collect on his debt. So ultimately he still holds the strings, he still controls it, he's on the driver's seat, he could be moichel. But that's typical. That's a regular sale. Moideh Shmuel, even Shmuel would agree, Shem Nasna b'matna shchimra. Reuven transferred his debt to Shimon via a shchimra gift, not a regular sale, a shchimra, you know, transfer. Reuven can no longer be moichel that debt, because now it's fully transferred to Shimon. So this all makes sense. Amar Rabbi Shlomo Dei Raisef, a shchimra's ability to transfer stuff is minat Torah mishmochi and yochel nimchel. That would explain why Reuven is considered out of the picture. It's given, it's disconnected. Eli Amar Rabbi Rabbanani, but if it's merely a rabbinic type of, you know, takana, amay einu yochel nimchel. Ultimately, Reuven is still considered the baal chayiv. He's still in the driver's seat. Says the mar einu shel Torah v'asur shel Torah. You're right. Even though the matana of a shchimra is not really minat Torah, the chachamim upgraded it. They gave it the power of the Torah. And Rashbam says, you know why? Mishum tirav datay, to protect him, to put him at ease. So they empowered him with the full power. And therefore, once he gives away the shtar chayiv, it's fully gone. Okay, so now he's out of the picture, and he cannot, you know, meddle. He cannot go ahead and interfere and be moichel that chayv. And his recipient has the ability to collect it from his from the debtor. Now, an interesting kasha, because according to Tosfos, every person who sells a shtar chayv, it's considered min ha-Torah. You can sell a shtar chayv min ha-Torah, and still you can be moichel. You still consider the actual owner of that debt, even though you sold the ability to collect it, but you still considered the one who the money is owed to, and you can be moichel. So how could a shchimra be better? So Rabbi Kivik explains. He says that, you know what the Gemara means when it says vasu'o kishal Torah? They gave it the status of a yerusha. So it's as if it was inherited to that person. I'm totally disengaged. So you can't even be moichel. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, shchimra she'amar. Let's say shchimra gets up and declares as follows. Yidur pleni bebeise. I want somebody, Mr. X, to live in this house after my passing. Oh, yoichel pleni peres dekalze. I want that person to pick the fruit off this. I want to give him the fruit of my palm tree. Peres dekalze. Leimar klum, it doesn't work. Why? Because he didn't give him anything concrete. He gave him, usage rights. He gave him, picking rights. You can't do that. Achiyemar, until he gives him something concrete. Nubai is at lepleni. Transfer the house to that person, Vidaboy, and he'll live in there. Tnu dekhlaz el aploini, v'yachol peroysav, give him the palm tree, and let him have the fruit. But just to give him dira is not really ownership. Rashbam says, ein ba mamish. Right? It's not something tangible. The Rambam says it's like speaking, it's like sleeping. You can't sell that, you can't give that away. Okay, so that's by Dira. And regarding the fruit of the palm tree, the Rambam says it's davar shelo bo la'olam, it's not yet in existence, it didn't grow yet. Right? So you can't give that away. Unless you give them the actual property or the actual palm tree. Says the Gemara, l'meim b'desavar av nachron, mosad isa b'bari. And the reason here is like this. Because although he's a shchimra who's gotten these extra powers, but he still has to conform to some sort of basic guidelines. You can't give him the moon, right? Basically, whatever a healthy person, whatever a bari can give away with a kinyan, the shchimra can do so without a kinyan. But in terms of the type of package, the type of material that's being transferred, it has to be something that's transferable within the regular, standard, typical context of kinyanim. So remember, the Sefer Rav Nachman, the meaning of Rav Nachman means to say, something, the isa b'bari, that's applicable to a healthy person through a kinyan, isa b'shchimra applies to a shchimra without a kinyan. But the less of a bari, but something which is not applicable to a bari, right? For instance, a davar she'ein boi mamash, like we said, something which is not tangible. Lesser b'shchivmar doesn't apply to shchivmar either, notwithstanding his greater abilities, right? So basically, you have to follow the formula. Is that so? Well, we do find that sometimes a shchivmar was given extra powers. V'amarav, amarav nachman, the same, you know, manda amram, shchivmar she'amar tnua v'asi l'ploini. He gave away his debt. Somebody owes me money, verbally, no, not a written document. He owed, and I want to give that debt over to somebody. Can he transfer it like that? Yeah, havasa l'ploini. The question is, you can't. A healthy person can't do that. Sorry, v'avagad the less of a bari. A bari can't do that. What is he giving away? Something tangible. The fellow already spent the money, so I can't just, you know, give away a verbal, undocumented loan. How could a shchivmara do so? Says the way, you know why? I'll tell you. Rapapa amar hoil v'yarish yarsha. You're right. Typically, a shchivmara can only do a matana on something that, you know, a bari can do. But halva is different. Because, as we explained before, the chachamim consider the matana of a shchivmara like a form of yerusha. He's inheriting, he's providing inheritance. And since by Yerusha, certainly it works by Halva, that your father is owed money, even verbally, and he dies, that gets transferred. The ability to collect on that loan gets transferred to the kid. So here as well, the Shechimra can transfer the rights to that loan. Ravach b'rei d'Ravika amar Halva isa b'bari. You know what? There is a case where even a bari, a healthy person, can transfer even a verbal loan. You know how? That's called Ma'amad Shlashtan. We had this the other day. Domar Hunam Rav. The Chacham instituted, you know, a system to enhance, you know, efficiency and smoothness in business, like this. Money libiyatcha. You know, I owe you money, right? You owe me money. Money libiyatcha. I have money by you. You owe me money. Instead of giving it to me and I forward it to my, you know, supplier, why don't you give it to him directly? So they all plan to give it to him directly. And they all happened to be standing there, all three individuals. Mama Shloshtan. It was done in the presence of all three individuals. So it's a firm, you know, commitment. Kana, it works. Even though nothing really changed hands. It was like sort of a remote transfer. It works. So you see that in some, you know, unusual, you know, exceptional cases, there are cases where even a bari, healthy people, can do a transfer, knee transfer. So that's enough for us to you know, to allow a shchimra to do so as well. So even though typically a bari can't, unless there's mamash shloshtan, right? But in concept, conceptually, even a bari can. So we allow a shchimra to do so under all circumstances. Okay, let's do a quick chazor of today's daf. Matna shchimra. How do we know it works? We have several possible sources, asmachtes, hints in the Torah, four in total. That took us on to the story of Achi Teufel and all kinds of weather indicators and pertaining to the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. Then we have Rava Amar Rav Nachman, it's Milim de Rabbanan, but they gave it the power, Kashal Torah. And the Gemara concludes that, yeah, he has to follow some sort of basic guidelines. The only difference is whatever a Bari can do with a Kinyan, he can do without a Kinyan. All the best to you, Psuras Teves and Hatzlach Rav.